Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
This episode is brought to you by Modern Fertility, Every Plate, and BetterHelp. And we are so excited that they are helping us make this show a possibility. Woo!
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are.
Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking the traditional route. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our ovaries. I don't know why I said that. I really don't.
I don't know. It gets weird.
I'm always happy to be back. It's Monday. We're in your ears
again. Does anyone
again.
Else feel like Jamie's spinning out? She's just wandering off a path and we all just waiting.
I don't even know what
I'm saying. Nobody went anywhere, JB. We're back.
We're here. I had two birthday parties this weekend in the hot blazing sun. It was really fun.
I had two back-to-back lacrosse games in the hot blazing sun. Like, what? Is parenting ever get easier?
No.
I don't think it does.
It's so fun. It's so fun.
So funny. Like, we're so, like, in the trenches with parenting all the time, and yet we are telling people to make
families.
I know,
what's wrong
with
us? And
I do think there's something hilarious about that. Like, almost everything that comes out of her mouth is like, don't do
it. You literally, like, we had a phone call earlier, and you answered the phone, my kids, my fucking kids.
That's all I said. I didn't even say hello. Because I had just hung up with one of the teachers. I was like, the fact that the teacher was just like, yeah. So I don't know where Henry is. Like, he's not like picking up and we can't hear him. And I tried to put him in a breakout room and that didn't work. And I'm just, and he's not in the assignment. So I start like calling him and all he does is like send back a message, like a G chat, like with a question mark. And I was like, yeah, hey, dingle with your question mark. Your teacher's calling me.
Where
and
are
then he
you?
Goes, oh, sorry. I was making ramen. What? I was like, you don't make ramen in the middle of ELA. What are you doing?
What's wrong with kids?
And then he was like, oh, sorry, I should have had Rory make it. No, you should just wait for lunch. It's in 15 minutes. Oh, my God.
It's so funny because, you know, my wife is a dean, so I hear her phone calls to these kids.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And it's like, well, no, there is still a full week of school. So I literally just heard that. She's talking to a kid. No, you still have a week. So you need to be in class. Oh, my God.
That is just amazing.
Okay.
Oh. Well, Jamie, we have a really exciting news item to share.
It's Pride Family Movie Night, guys. That's our update.
Yes, and we are a part of Pride Family Movie Night this year. So this year, this is New York City Pride. This year it's virtual. It's on June 17th. And so the movie will be virtual and it's free. So if you go to NewYorkCityPride.com, you can sign up for the event and you can watch and we'll all be together for Pride. But there's a little like a 10-minute short that with me and Jamie and two of our former guests, Angela and Jess.
The most lovely, lovely ladies. Love them. And they're hilarious. And
oh, God, they're hilarious.
And so they came on to chat with us. A little interstitial, would you call it that?
Interstitial?
Yeah, an interstitial.
Sure.
It's cool. And I'm so jazzed that we're a part of this because this is like.
I know. It's one of my favorite events of Pride. It's like every year I bring the kids and we go and we bring like a clipboard and we try to sign people up for our mailing list, which I actually make the kids do, which is
yeah,
hilarious.
Because you can't. You don't like to do that.
No, I don't. But the event is so fun and it's like so amazing to see out on a pier in New York City all of our LGBTQ family spread out on blankets. Watch it, some family movie. It's like, this is amazing.
It's nice to see the community, but it's virtual this year. And the beauty of that is now we can broaden this community even bigger.
Totally.
It's not just New York. So if you guys want to be a part of the Pride movie night, go sign up.
Yeah, and join us. Cool. New York's, it's nycpride.org, nycpride.org. And then just look for family movie night and register for God's sakes.
For God's sakes. Get in there.
Okay. Well, we want to say, if you want to help us make this wonderful content that we're making right here for LGBTQ families.
Not this part, probably the interviews.
Not the Jamie and I part, but the other parts. You can join our Patreon community and you'll help us make the podcast.
Yeah. And you're going to get bonus content for doing that. Mm-hmm. At the gestational carrier level in our Patreon, you're going to get video interviews of most episodes. And those are dropped a day early, which is amazing. And good.
And you're going to do a good thing, too, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So just head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk and you can join us there.
Join Boop. Us. Boop. All right. So let's talk about our guest, Robin. Yes. Nobody wants to hear us. I say it all
the
time.
No, they don't. It's like we're the thing they have to put up with to get to the good stuff. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the side salad. Mm-hmm. Like you eat the side salad because you want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. But you really want the lasagna. Mm-hmm. Let's be just straight up honest. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That was a long way to go for that metaphor. All right.
I'm not going to lie. So, I kind of lost focus.
You weren't paying it. You disassociated from your body. I saw it. Okay. So this is our very first episode where a listener nominated someone else to be on the podcast, which I love.
So cool.
That wasn't like a famous person, but like nominated like someone in their community that they thought was awesome.
Is doing really great work.
Yeah. So Nicole sent us an email talking about how awesome Ashley and Sharia are. And then they've chronicled their journey that involved trying to conceive, pregnancy, miscarriage, an ectopic pregnancy, parenthood, surrogacy, and then an autism diagnosis for one of their kids. And Ashley's been sharing it all on social media.
Yeah. And so Nicole nominated them because the whole chronicling of it has made such an impact on Nicole. And so she just knew that some other folks might be helped by this story as well.
Yeah.
We also do want to make one thing clear. You know, we do talk about autism in this episode, which Robin and I are not experts in any way on.
We are not doctors.
No, we are.
And I think everyone knows that,
Everybody
Jamie.
Knows we are not doctors. We were learning as we go.
So basically, we would just want to say we're not advocating for any path for your kid if you do have a child with autism. Do your research, consult experts, and do what is best for your gut, just like Ashley and Sharia are doing. You know, it's like that's what they're doing and they talk a lot about that. So we just want to be really clear that that's where we're coming
from.
We're
not advocating any path. We're just telling the story.
And they aren't either. And they make a point of saying that. But we just want to make sure that that's really clear up front as you go into it listening.
Yeah, they did what was right for them. You do what's right for you. And it's all peace and love. And we love you all. And we wish everyone the best.
Stop making heart things with your
fingers.
I
have to make the hearts because it's
Helen
peace
just
and love.
Nudged me and said, tell her to stop making the heart
Helen loves my hearts.
Helen's just going to roll the tape over us.
No, Helen loves everything. Helen, tell her how much you love my hearts. Helen's not real, guys. She's not real.
I don't love them. Roll the tape, Helen. Roll the tape.
Roll that tape. Oh, my God.
Hi, Ashley and Sharia. Welcome.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
So exciting to have you all here.
Yes.
Yeah, we are very excited to have you on.
Very excited.
She's like, yeah, my wife made me.
No, no, not at all. She was more willing than I actually thought she was going to be.
That's great, because you got an important story to tell.
Yes.
If that's not a transition into the elevator pitch, I don't know what is. So you're going to get 30 seconds, but of course, come on, who cares? You could keep going. I'm going to put this little timer up to give you some anxiety.
Just to make you nervous.
Because we like to start the show off with anxiety. Are you guys ready?
No,
no, we don't. No, we don't.
No, we don't at all.
On
all
your right. mark. Get set. Go.
Okay, so I'm Ashley. That's Sharia. We have been married for four years. We've been together for like over 10. We have a daughter who's eight, who's 12, going to be 12, and a son who's going to be 3. And we just found out he was diagnosed with autism. I've been a surrogate for a gay male couple that lives in Switzerland. I had twins for them. What else?
We're a military family.
Military family.
We've gone through some deployments together and
co-parent really well with our daughter's dad and his whole family and his kids. And yeah, we've got a lot going on, I guess. Yeah. That's it. I don't know. That was amazing.
I didn't want to stop you because there's just more things just kept coming up there. That was amazing.
I mean, I guess it seems like a lot when we say it, but for us, it's just life
every day.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the military background and what you do there and all that?
Of course. Yeah. So I've been in 11 years. It'll go on 12 years this September. I originally started in the maintenance field doing analysis for our F-16s here in Duluth. And then I went on to plans and scheduling for all of the maintenance on the jets. And now I'm happily in the communications flight. So I take care of like our internet site and then also like all of our records on base.
She's been deployed to Kuwait and Korea.
Oh. Yes. Also, by the way, I bet you didn't know this, but my dad was in the Air Force and he was an engineer on gear and what have you. I don't even know how to say that.
Cool. Very
you know
cool.
What? You know what?
Is your dad too?
My uncle worked for NASA.
Oh,
yeah.
Very cool.
I don't think he was like that, you know, special about it. But also, my grandma.
He worked for NASA, so.
My grandma was a member of the 99s Club, the Amelia Earhart Flyers. Yeah, I'm a family of flyers. I'm from a military family, but
that
ended
is awesome.
After Vietnam.
Yeah. So I'm in the Air National Guard. So I've always been stationed here in Duluth.
Other than deployments.
Yeah, other than deployments, I've always been in Duluth and I absolutely love it.
So she was in before we could even talk about us being together and she couldn't talk about being gay and we weren't allowed to post anything on social media. Nothing. Like I was not allowed to post and I'm an open book and I wasn't allowed to post anything of this hot girl I had on my arm. You know, like I was like, you're killing me. What do you mean I can't talk about this? But now we've obviously come a long way. So.
But that was during Don't Ask, Don't Tell or that was even after? Because when did that get repealed?
Oh, God.
That was probably around 2012-ish, I want to say.
Yeah.
Is when that started becoming like more acceptable, you could say.
But even after, it wasn't like everyone was like, I'm gay.
I was going to say, do you pick and choose who you tell still?
Nope. No, I am completely open up there. And like even
I volunteer up there at the base. Aww. I'm like, they call us key volunteers. We're like the key spouses. Like I call all the families when they have somebody deployed to make sure they're okay. Or if they need anything, or if their stove broke, they can call me and I can get resources for them and stuff.
Actually, my stove is currently broken. If you could get me some resources.
Let me just call some people. Okay. No, we are a whole force to be reckoned with up there. Like somebody's stove broke not that long ago. And we had somebody there in like 2 days and it was paid for and everything. So yeah, everybody up there, I think they like me better, actually, than her.
Doesn't it always end up that way?
It always does. I mean, as incredible as she is, it'd be hard not to. So,
I can't believe you've been together so long and you're so nice to each other. Jamie, we're doing it wrong.
Not again. Always.
We're doing it wrong. Do you guys live on a base? Is that?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Our base, it's really small.
It's not like those big live-on bases. There's not actually any apartments or houses or anything on our base.
But. Interesting. Okay. And are you, just to dig in deeper with this military thing, are there other gay couples?
There are a couple, not a whole lot, but like we do know of each other and we support each other. I know that there's secret another, wave. No,
secret handshake.
Yeah,
right. You're like passing toasters to each other.
Legs next to each other.
I was in Kuwait. When she was in Kuwait, her and a couple of the other LGBT people that were deployed with her, they did a photo shoot because we're also photographers. And they did a photo shoot on the flight line in front of the jets with rainbow flags and in their uniform. And they are some badass pictures.
Oh, they're really cool. That's so cool. We have to see those. I want to see those.
I'll have to send them to you guys because they are so cool.
That's awesome. Yay. Yeah. Yay. Yeah. I like to hear good stories about our military being open.
It's really nice up here. There's a lot of people that are accepting of it. I mean, there's some people that are still like, I mean, you're always going to have the people that don't agree with everything that you do. But at the end of the day, we all come together and we work together and we have to get the mission done.
Mm-hmm. That's how Jamie and I operate. We got to get the mission done. We got to record this podcast.
We don't always agree with each other, but we're going to get this thing done.
Sometimes sometimes that makes it more interesting when you don't always agree.
That might be why we're lasting so long. Just kidding.
That's awesome.
Jamie, have you got big plans for the summer? I mean, what about for the next year? In any of your plans include trying for kids? Because there's an easy way to learn more about your body while you're thinking ahead. Did you know that, Jamie?
That is true.
The Modern Fertility Hormone Test is a simple at-home finger prick that unlocks tons of insight into your reproductive health, from egg count to menopause timing, to possible outcomes for egg freezing or IVF, all good things to know if kids are in your future, Jamie.
That's true. This is actually true, and it's great for the LGBTQ+ community. Because, guys, we spend so much time creating our families, it is important to find those money saver options along the way. And the truth is, traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000, which we know so well. But Modern Fertility only costs $159, and you're going to get the same information. Money saver. Mic drop.
Okay, don't say that. Also, if you have an HSA or FSA, you can use those dollars on Modern Fertility. More saving. Ka-ching. Jamie makes me say that every time.
Okay, and ka-ching is better than mic drop. Oh, so you ruined my joke, you see?
That's what you get.
All right, so you're going to get insights into how many eggs you have, your hormone levels, and other important fertility factors.
And it doesn't stop there, Jamie. The results go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps.
Yes, so if you are ready to start this baby-making journey, this might be the right place for you to start.
Mm-hmm. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
That means, guys, that your test is going to cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, Jamie.
modernfertility.com/OCT.
So can you tell us about the kids?
We're not asking the same question.
Where were you going? Somewhere else?
I was going to ask how you guys met.
Oh, gosh. Okay. The way we met was a friend of ours, a mutual friend, told me that she was like, you know, that couple I told you about, she had kind of a crush on the girl Sharia was dating. And she's like, they broke up. And I was like, oh, I feel like I remember Sharia being cute. Can you show me a picture of her? She showed me a picture of her. And I was like, okay, what's her phone number? And she told me, and I just texted her. I said, hey, you don't know who I am, but I think you're really hot. And she was like, hey, you should come hang out with me. And I went and hung out, and that was it.
Wow. The rest is history.
I was just really bold.
And did your friend end up with the other one?
No.
Nope.
Oh, that's too bad for your friend.
He actually ended up marrying another guy from base, and we're friends with them.
Oh, okay.
All's right. Well that ends well.
And then to answer Robin's question, you wanted to hear about like what our kids are like,
like how did they appear in your lives?
Okay.
So I'm doing some math on how long you've been together.
Yeah. Well, I had Kira at 18, and I was in a previous marriage with her dad, who I had been with since I was like 14 years old. Wow. So we were like best friends. Basically, I didn't know like that I was gay yet until I was actually started feeling it like when I was pregnant with Kira. And then we got married because our parents just thought, you know, you're pregnant, you guys should get married. And we did. And we laugh now, or she laughs at me, because our wedding pictures, I didn't smile in a single picture.
Oh no.
I look angry and
foreshadowing
every photo. I literally had my arms crossed.
Yes. It was bad.
I show Kira the pictures and I'm like, look how happy mom looks at these.
Oh my God.
So Shreya came into our life when Kira was like two.
Just under two and a half.
Yeah. And so she's been mama for, I mean, I don't think it took very long. She stepped up and has been an amazing mom to her. And that was hard on Kira's dad for a little while, but now him and Shreya are like besties, and he's trying to convince us to make him Huxley's godfather. So
that's sweet.
We're pretty close. And they have two boys now and they're pregnant again. So we're a very close family, and it's good for Kira, and she goes back and forth. But yeah, I'm mommy and she's mama. And then, you know, she's got her dad too. So
that's great.
And then, yeah, we got married, and then we actually did IUI at home for Huxley, and we had a known donor. He was a very good friend of ours.
Still is.
Yeah. We were going to go through the California Cryobank, and then we were just like struggling with it was very overwhelming and expensive. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously we were willing to pay for it, but we were like, it's like however much for one try. And
what if it doesn't take?
Yeah. And then they called us. It's actually two of our best friends, they're a couple and they're married and they have two kids, and they called and said like, we want to help you have a baby. And so
wait, you didn't even ask
a gay couple?
Someone just
we didn't ask. Nope, straight couple.
A straight couple even.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She's been my best friend for like 15 years, and then they met since we've been friends, and they were all done. So they decided that before he got fixed, that he was going to help us have a baby. Yeah. So
I love the idea of this couple having a whole conversation about your future child without even you being a part of it. You guys are like eating Chinese and they're like, we should definitely give your sperm.
Yeah. We had a barbecue like the night before, and we were kind of, our friends were asking us like how it's going. And we were telling them like, we were kind of stressed about it, but like it would happen when it happened. And then the next morning I think that must've inspired it. And then the next morning they called and said, FaceTimed and said, we want to help you have a baby. And we just cried and cried and cried. And yeah, the first pregnancy, I had a ectopic pregnancy. So I had to be rushed into emergency surgery. Ooh. And
can you just explain exactly what ectopic is, just for listeners? I mean,
I had no idea.
I might not completely know. So let's go.
I honestly had no idea. Like, you hear about it on like the commercials that are like, this could cause ectopic pregnancy or whatever, but I had never heard of anybody having it. And then one morning I woke up and I was in just excruciating pain, and I know my body really well. And I was like, I can't stand up. I don't feel good. And I was just paranoid that I was having a miscarriage. So Shreya came home and we went to the emergency room, and they did an ultrasound.
They did an ultrasound. They did a pelvic examination as well.
And they did a urine test, and they told me that all the levels were perfectly normal and that our baby should be fine. And they thought that maybe I needed like a kidney.
They thought it was your kidney.
They thought it was a kidney. How did they miss it on a sonogram? I don't know.
It's like growing in a different place.
Yeah, it's
in the fallopian tubes.
Yep. So we got so excited because we were like, okay, well, I don't care if something's wrong with my kidney, my baby's okay. Like, I honestly didn't care about anything else. And then less than, you know, a little while later, they came in and they said, we need to rush you to surgery, like barely explained it. So what had happened was the baby, while it was traveling, you know, up, it stopped and it actually attaches into the fallopian tube, and then it just stays put there. So any pregnancy tests you take or anything like that still shows you're pregnant. But what can happen is it can rupture.
Yeah.
And then if it ruptures, I could have died. Yeah. You could bleed out. There's a lot of different things. And so they basically rushed me to surgery, said that they were going to try to save my tube, but if they couldn't, then they couldn't. So I ended up losing a tube. And that scared us, thinking I wasn't going to be able to get pregnant as easily. We already don't have an easy time getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. So that was a really, really dark, hard time. And it was like the day before Mother's Day or something like that.
Yeah, it was a couple of days before Mother's Day.
Yeah, it was like right around Mother's Day. So that was tough. And then we waited a year to try to have Huxley. Mm-hmm. And then we used Mosey Baby that time instead of like a different kind of syringe, which was made for doing IUIs. It's like a more rounded syringe. And we got pregnant with Huxley the first try and with only one tube. So
with the same donor.
Yeah, same donor.
Wow. Yeah. And did you have to do any extra monitoring? Because I remember at one point when I was trying that they say that like 1 month the egg drops from one tube and then the other. So how did you know which month to do it? You just did it both anyway?
We didn't. There's no way to know which side is which without like going in and getting all the testing, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The testing. So basically I just kept track of my ovulating and my period, just like I would normally. And we just had to kind of hope for the best. And if it didn't happen this month, then we would try next month. But I ended up getting pregnant the first try. We just had to wait a while because I had like laparoscopic surgery for the ectopic. So it wasn't like a super invasive surgery, but my abdomen was very sore for a long time. So,
yeah.
So you get pregnant. That's exciting. And the pregnancy was fine. No totally complications. Fine. That's amazing. Nope. That's
no
great.
Complications at all. It was.
And I was gone when you were pregnant.
Yeah.
And
she was,
moved us.
She was deployed while I was pregnant with Huxley and I moved us to a whole other house.
Wow. That's fun.
All kinds of stuff. But yeah. Yeah, it was a totally normal pregnancy.
That's great.
How long were you deployed for?
Just over 3 months, I want to say.
Wow. That's a long time to be away.
Yeah. It's not as bad as some deployments, but it's still hard on, especially on Kira. It was hard, but.
Yeah, no, we have some friends that are gone 6 months to over a year, you know, so I have to be thankful that whenever I have gone, it's only been 3 months at a time.
And are you still like, is that still a possibility? Like you could be deployed? That's ongoing.
It's always a possibility. I mean, I had to go to a training earlier last month and I was only gone two nights, but our daughter started getting worried that I was going to be gone again for the military. And I was like, oh no, I'll be back tomorrow night.
She like wouldn't go to sleep for me. She's like, mama's gone and I don't know what to do. And I feel like she's going to be gone forever again. I was like, honey, she's gone. Gone like 2 hours away for
she's
like
she's in a Ramada
nights.
She'll be home tomorrow. Everything's she's fine.
Correct.
Everything's gonna be fine. Just take some melatonin and go to sleep.
I'm a fan of the melatonin.
Same. I'm
very much am.
Our daughter has anxiety, so it's good for her to sleep.
Me too. Same.
You too, yeah.
Oh, you know how much I love dinner.
Random. No, Jamie, I don't.
No, truth. I love it so much because it really is the only time Anne and I get to ourselves. We give the kids the 1 hour of screen time they get and we cook together. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. And we've been using EveryPlate, which is one of the best value meal kits out there. Did you know, Robin, that EveryPlate is 50% cheaper than a meal made from grocery store ingredients?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm saving money, cooking great meals, and getting quality time with my wife.
Oh my God.
Win.
I love this. And I love EveryPlate too. I mean, their food is fantastic.
It is.
But also, my daughter cooks the meals with me, which is, you know, it's like some special time. And and honestly, using EveryPlate helps us have more pleasant cooking experience because EveryPlate provides easy to follow recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients. So I'm not down her neck with the chopping and the prepping, which makes both of us happier cooks.
I see that. Mm-hmm. I get that. Yeah. See, cooking with kids can be pleasant.
It can. Mine, it can be.
Yours. Listen, I love that I don't have to plan the weekly meals or shop for them. I don't like to do that.
Yeah, nope.
Planning menus stresses me out, and I have never, ever liked the grocery store. Ask my mom. If I can avoid shopping, I am a happy camper. And every recipe comes together in about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So Anne and I even have time for a glass of wine.
Yeah,
beer,
you do.
For chill time.
Yeah, you do.
Kid free.
I'm happy for you. You take that quality time, lady. I will. I'm happy we found EveryPlate because most meal kits are super expensive and complicated, which no parent really has time for. But EveryPlate is actually affordable and it is delicious. One meal is basically the price of a cup of coffee, which come on. That's ridiculous.
I mean, come on now. Seriously, a cup of coffee, a meal, boom. And okay, guys, for the folks at home, You can try every plate for just $1.99 per meal, plus an additional 20% off your next two boxes
what?
By going to everyplate.com and entering code OCT199.
Just
write it down.
Get started with every plate for just $1.99 per meal, plus an additional 20% off another 2 weeks by going to everyplate.com, entering the code OCT199.
That's up to $100 value.
We are bringing deals.
Boom. So you have Huxley.
Yes. Yeah. And then when he was 3 months old.
Yeah, when he was 3 months old, I had to leave for schooling down in Mississippi. Oh. So, but that was also around the time I signed up to be a surrogate.
Yep.
So it's been very eventful.
Yeah. So okay, you had an ectopic pregnancy.
Yep.
You're missing a fallopian tube now.
Yep.
And you decide, I think I want to have someone else's babies for them.
So I had both with Huxley and Kira, the pregnancies were really smooth, really easy. I didn't have morning sickness. I was pretty comfortable. I don't gain a whole lot of weight. I just was an easy pregnant person, and people don't love to hear that from me, especially with other women who have been pregnant, but it was just really easy for me. And then with having, a friend of ours help us to have Huxley, I just felt like we wouldn't have had him if somebody hadn't helped us. And a lot of other people are in our shoes. And so I just wanted to give back in a different way, I guess. And I signed up to be a surrogate, and I specifically said that I wanted to do it for a gay couple. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do it for, wasn't trying to hate on anybody that's straight and has problems, but I was I specifically want to do this for either, another lesbian couple or a gay male couple. So.
And did you go through an agency or a surrogacy service?
Yeah, okay. We have one in Minneapolis, and they're great. So they do a whole matching process, and we matched with a couple from Switzerland, and they are the male versions of us. And we just clicked, and it was the most beautiful thing, most beautiful experience other than having our own children. But
is there not a lot of surrogacy in Switzerland that they needed to come to the U.S.?
Actually, they are not allowed to have surrogates in Switzerland. So,
know that.
Yeah.
It was because they were gay.
So in Switzerland, they technically can't be married. They're still trying to pass those laws.
They have a legal partnership, but they can't have their marriage isn't legal right now. And they both can't. They have to parent their kids for a year before they can legally adopt the opposite twin. That isn't there, because there's one twin from each dad.
Oh,
right? So
yes,
they each only one name could go the dad that
on the one birth certificate adopted. And then the other dad on the other birth certificate.
Yes. Correct. Yes. But, so then they they have to wait a year of living together before the other can adopt the opposite child.
Wow.
It's crazy. When they first told us that, we were in Switzerland, and they're it's really old school still there.
You wouldn't think that about Switzerland.
No.
You think that about our country.
About Switzerland being so nice and down the middle.
So they said that it is really trendy, I guess, and up to date in certain areas, but their laws are very, very old school.
Yeah. Huh.
All their laws are very old school. But the way they make their laws, they told us, was that they collectively vote. Everyone gets to take a vote on a certain topic, and it can happen once every
year. It's every 4 months they have to vote.
They vote every 4 months on a certain law. So they have a really good feeling that this next time they vote for gay marriage, that it could pass this time.
But, I hope so.
That must have been so hard to have you be separated so far. It's one thing to be in Pennsylvania and New York, but it's another to be in Switzerland and the U.S. Mm-hmm. That had to be expensive for them. And
it was expensive for them. But then also they were planning to stay here a month for all the legal things after. But she ended up going into labor early.
As
you
do.
So they weren't here. And they got here 2 days after. So we were taking care of the kiddos in the NICU.
And then they ended up staying with us for three months.
Three months.
They lived with us.
All of them.
Oh my God.
I love that.
And then COVID hit. So they couldn't get back home for a little while. So they were only supposed to be here a month. And then the babies were in the NICU and COVID hit. So there was no traveling. So they ended up having to stay way longer than they planned to.
Wow.
What was that like for you, Ashley? Because I know that you don't have a genetic tie to the children, but you did just carry them in your womb for close to 9 months.
Yeah.
And now, and then all of a sudden now you are actually having to take care of them because the dads couldn't get over in time.
They were only here 2 days after the twins were born. So they were still in the hospital in the NICU and I had a C-section. So I was technically still in the hospital recovering myself and I would go down and see them in the NICU, but they couldn't like breastfeed or anything like that anyway. Yeah. So I was pumping for them, but like they never, I like got to do skin on skin with them and stuff, but I don't know how to explain it, but it just didn't feel like, it felt a lot like how I feel about my nieces and nephews, but I didn't feel the way I felt about my kids.
Huh.
So like they call us Zia. It's Italian for auntie. Cause one of the dads is Italian, but like we're aunties to them. Even now when they FaceTime us, they know our voices really well. But when they left, I was sad, but I didn't feel like somebody just took my kids to Switzerland. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like
it's not like giving a baby up for adoption.
Yeah. Right.
Were you at all worried that you might have feelings for the babies?
I told Sharia that I was like, I might need you for like a day or two after I have them like adjusting. Like I may have like an emotional moment, but like I really didn't feel like I was going to. And I had one moment, and that was one of the twins came home early and one of the dads just didn't, he wanted to show us that he could do it without us, basically. They could, but I'm just a very helpful and I love babies. So I was like, oh, here, let me help. He was like, no, I got it. And I remember crying because I was like, why? Like he let me carry his babies, but he won't let me help with them. But then I never felt that again. It was kind of just like, why doesn't he trust me to help him? But he did. He was just being a protective dad over his 3-pound baby. Yeah. Mm-hmm, but like, mm-hmm. I'm used to people being like, take my kids because everybody trusts me with their kids. So it was hard for me for a second, but
you can take kids anytime.
Yeah, mine too.
I would love to
send them up.
Yeah. And there's no boundaries either because you're all in this house and you're all we interviewed a surrogate who said that she made sure she had her own recovery room after so that they could take the baby in another room just because she wanted separation for them. And you all didn't have that. And it's not bad, but I could see where that would get confusing for a minute.
I think there are some surrogates who have to be like, you know, they give birth and then like take the baby out. Like I did this for you, but I can't like have a connection to the baby. Where for me, I think it would have been 10 times harder for me to carry the babies and not know them.
Yeah.
Like there was like options to have a closed surrogacy where you just basically carry their baby. You don't talk to them the whole pregnancy. You give them the baby when it's born and you go your separate ways. And I was like, oh no, I want an open situation. And the dads wanted the same thing. And so they were very good about, you know, wanting us to be included, but they also wanted to show us that like, we can do this. We promise when we get home, like we don't need you guys. But we're very like, here, let us help people. Yeah, yeah. So it was like, we kind of butt heads in that sense, but we actually like lived together really well.
Really well.
And they had the whole downstairs. We have like a split level house and they were like, had the whole downstairs and we just had the upstairs, but they'd come, you know, we had dinners together and hung out, but like night times and stuff, they were all, you know, we didn't help with the babies or anything.
Huh. And Sharia, what was it like for you? The whole surrogacy experience?
It was exciting. Just getting to see that whole side of things. Like, I guess for us, we never had to have somebody carry our kid. Like I could be there and feel her kicks. And
she tried to include them in everything that she got to be a part of since they didn't. Like if she felt a kick or something like that, we would video them or message them and she would FaceTime them at every appointment. Like she was kind of the keeping them included in everything.
And you went to all the appointments, Sharia?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yep.
That's amazing.
We had a lot of ultrasounds since they were twins. So
was that a shock? The twins, or was that the plan?
Exciting.
That's what they were trying for. They wanted to try for twins, one from each dad. But of course, there was a million scenarios that could happen. Like only one stuck, one from one dad could split off and be twins. It could have been triplets. Could have been 14 babies. Like,
oh my goodness.
We just didn't know.
That's too many babies. I'm going to say it. That's too many babies. 14.
I was like, I'm going to have a TV show. This is what's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's what you would have gotten is a TV show out of that one.
Yeah. But it actually took the first embryo transfer and it took a boy and a girl and it took one from each dad all on the first try. It was just everything aligned.
And they could tell that when you get pregnant and you know it's twins, they can tell that it's one from each?
No, they had to find out after.
Oh, okay. So they were just
so hoping. After you have the babies, before we go to court, because we actually had to go to court and sign over our rights, even though they weren't our
Isn't that
babies.
Crazy?
Right. Sharia, too, you had to sign over your rights? Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so before we went to court, they had to do a DNA test for the babies to find out who was the biological dad for each twin so that the paperwork was all right for Switzerland.
And did they do that test on Maury Povich or did they do it at a hospital?
I wish they had done it on Maury.
The dad
No, they actually, they're not telling any of their family.
No, a lot of gay couples, male couples that we've spoken to don't disclose that information. Yeah. It's their private
and
information.
It doesn't matter. Most people think that she carried our kids because they look just like her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Both Kira and Huxley look just like her and act just like her. And I carried both of them. They're like, does that make you mad? I'm like, no, that was kind of the point.
Like I married her, so I kind of dig her. Yeah, so yeah, it's
kind of like her a little. Yeah.
And doesn't that feel good, Sharia, when somebody says, oh, he looks just like you? I love it when people say that about my daughter. I get so happy because me and my daughter share the secret that we're not even genetically tied, you know? Uh-huh. And it's like our thing.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
It does feel good.
It's cool. It's really cool. I heard on one of your shows, I was just telling her last night that you guys said there was a study done that like the mannerisms and stuff like that, like even somebody could adopt a baby and they pick up their facial expressions and things like that. And I was like, I never knew there was a study done on that, but that makes sense why Huxley is literally you.
Well, let's talk about Huxley. You mentioned that he was diagnosed with autism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like 2-3 weeks ago that we found out.
And I just want to say out front, you guys are totally fine talking about this and we're not like,
prying.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
We're not trying to pry. Nope. So if there's anything that you don't want to share, please.
Nothing off limits.
Tell us.
We kind of have known had an idea for longer, but because he was so young, they didn't want to diagnose him. So he actually had an assessment done at the end of last year.
It was August of last year.
And
so he was two.
So he had
almost two.
It was like right before he turned two, a few weeks, and they did the full autism assessment on him then. And she was really great because she said, basically, you know, he shows a lot of signs of it, but he's really young. And once we put this diagnosis on him, it's there for good. And I would rather wait. So she's like, you know, make an appointment in 6 more months and then we'll go from there. So we just had him assessed again. And they did diagnose him with autism this time.
What were the things that, like the indicators that you saw that made you think this might be something that was going on?
We actually never thought that because, you know, we knew he wasn't like as crazy and rambunctious as other toddlers and stuff like that. But we were like, it's just Huxley. And he does a lot of the arm flapping. I don't know how familiar you guys are with autism, but
not too much.
So he does a lot of this, like excited arm flapping. And to us, it's just Huxley. And it's so freaking adorable.
Yeah, and a lot of babies
care less.
Do that too.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's like, we always joke that he's going to fly away because he flaps so fast and he's so excited and he does a lot of clapping and stuff. And we were just like, it's just Hux. Mm-hmm. Like he's just our son. It's just who he is. And so we didn't think twice about it. But then at one of his doctor's appointments,
18-month appointment, you had to fill out the paperwork for it and it was asking questions.
Yeah, like he's not very social and like the rest of us way are. And you know, even really close family, like grandpas, grandmas, aunts that are here all the time and things like that, he doesn't want them near him or to touch him. He'll kind of like away from them. He's not like, oh, grandpa's here, you know, like I feel like is more common. And it took him a while actually to build, like he was very attached to just me, which is also another thing that some kids just do. And I stay home.
Right.
So
yeah, makes sense.
It wasn't weird, but he never slept. Never. Like he was almost two and we'd sleep 3 hours, if that, a night.
Oh God, bless your heart.
Oh, I always tell her, I don't know how
I was just going to say, you both look fantastic. You're still staring at each other lovingly. I do not understand.
I almost killed her with a pillow a few times.
I get it.
She's been trained to sleep when jets are taking off around her. So she, like the house could be like, I've always joked with her that I could pack my whole entire house up in the middle of the night and leave her and she would never know. Like I always tease her about that. So Huxley being awake wasn't enough to keep her up. So I'd be awake with Huxley because I wake up to a pin drop and she'd be snoring next to me. And I would just be like, I have envisioned putting a pillow over her face and suffocating
me. Poor Sharia. She's like, I was just sleeping.
It's fine. It's fine. We've moved past this point.
And she didn't do it. That's important.
She didn't do
it. I didn't do it.
It's that 3 a.m. rage. I understand. Yes. It's the 3 a.m. It's 3 a.m. and you're sleeping and I'm not. And then everything
for
just
hours.
And then it just spins out of control.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, let's talk BetterHelp.
Yes.
We could all use some therapy sometimes or all the time.
Speak for yourself, Jamie.
I am.
Literally. BetterHelp is online therapy that is done securely online. You go to their website, you sign up, and you could start communicating with a licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours, which I do actually really need.
We all do. That's my point. It's not a crisis line. It is not self-help, guys. It is professional counseling, which, like I said, we could all use. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be available locally in many areas. So you can possibly find someone more qualified to deal with what you need than you might have been able to find locally. There's nothing like finding exactly what you need. Nothing. There's nothing.
Yeah,
like
absolutely. And I also love that it's super accessible. You can log into your account anytime and you can send a message to your counselor and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Mm-hmm. Oh, and also last night while having drinks with a friend, I was trying to talk her into BetterHelp, just so you know.
I mean, all we do is talk people into BetterHelp.
It's true. Like, I'm like, we have a code.
We have so many codes. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed, which is also important.
Mm-hmm. And BetterHelp, they just want you to start living a happier life today, mm-hmm. which is important. Mm-hmm.
So visit BetterHelp.com/OCT. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, except for my friend, that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
Yes. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And if these Over the Could Talk listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/OCT.
So they did the 18-month questionnaire, and it asked a lot of socialization questions and then Peekaboo and Patty Clap, things like that. Building towers. Like, he plays, but it's very different play than other toddlers. And so I answered honestly on them. And then I also planned to talk to her about his sleeping then, because I had read, I don't know how many books. I had done all these things to figure out why my kid isn't sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And the sleep training stuff of cry it out and things like that were not an option for him, because he would literally stay in his room and cry all night. First of all, second, I'm not really down for that. I mean, we did try it for a couple of nights because we were like, we don't have any other options, but we weren't I wasn't a big fan of just listening to him cry. Mm-hmm. And our pediatrician was trying to tell me to do it. And I'm like, you don't understand. My son will stay up the entire night screaming.
Same. I mean, I don't know if it would have been the entire night, but we never let it go that long.
Yeah. It would have been some kids cry themselves to sleep, tire out and go to sleep. Some kids just don't, and it doesn't work. But so, to us, it was just he must just not love sleep. Well, then our pediatrician said, let me just check over these boxes that you did. I was just wondering a little bit of something about autism. And she just barely mentioned it really casually and quietly. And I was like, okay. And then she looked at the form and she's like, oh yeah, no, I'm not worried. And I was like, okay. Okay. But then as a mom, you hear that word and you're like, wait, pump the brakes. What's happening? And I was like, so you're not worried about that? And she's like, nope, not worried. You don't need to be worried about it or whatever. So then I came home and I mentioned it to Sharia. Of course, we got on the Google and did some research, and everything that we read about autism, we were like, yep. So I called my pediatrician back and I was like, hey, I know you said I shouldn't worry about this, but now that we've done some research, since we had no idea about autism, I'll be honest, we were ignorant about it. We had no idea. And she was like, yeah, no, I'm not concerned at all. I don't think you need to be concerned at all about Huxley having autism. I'm sorry for putting that in your head, but don't worry about it. And I was like, okay. But then we just had this really heavy feeling that it was something that we still, even though she said that, we still needed to do our own research on it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so we had made him that appointment, and it was actually at the Minnesota Autism Center in the cities. And so they specialize in it. we were like, we just went around her and kind of had that done. And, you know, them thinking that he had it. And then we had them refer us to a sleep doctor. And the sleep doctor told me, I am going to be so unbelievably shocked if your son's not diagnosed with autism, because his sleep pattern is very similar to an autistic child.
Did he explain why?
Yeah, that, what is the correlation? What
that is?
So he said that autistic, and I don't want to speak for all autistics, we're still learning, but from what I've read about and from actually autistic adults and stuff, is that they don't need as much sleep as we do. So they can function. So that was one of the big things. Like Huxley would be awake all night, but he'd function all day.
And be happy.
And be happy. Wow. He wouldn't be lazy and tired and like crabby. He was totally fine. So, and sounds that's like what, my so that was another confusing thing, because it was like, he's literally not even tired. He would sleep 2 hours and then he'd be like, yeah, let's go. Like clapping, running around, giggling, like totally fine. So they did put him on a sleep medication. And so now he's on like an adult insomniac medication, but a very small dose every night. And if he, you know, it's an intense med, so we can't miss it ever. And now he sleeps great, but he doesn't like nap too and stuff like that. It's asking too much, but.
Because yeah. He, even if he's fine and functioning fine with no sleep, he needs sleep, right? To, to grow.
To grow and to develop.
And your then, brain development happens at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like his sleep doctor was saying, you know, even like some autistics that are like teenagers, they may stay up all night and be fine too. And they're safe because they know, either stay in my room and watch TV or whatever. Huxley being 2 at the time and now 3 can't be awake all night and us still sleep. Like we, one of us has to be awake with him. So he's like, this isn't healthy for you guys. And it's not healthy for him. He's like, you guys are chronically like exhausted at this point, because it had been almost 2 years of us sleeping 3 hours a night. And so the medicine, you know, has saved all of us, but and he does really well on it. There might be still some nights that he wakes up, but it's very rare now.
Nothing like it was.
No. So yeah. So that was another sign that we were doing the right thing by having him evaluated. Cause even the sleep doctor said his sleep pattern was, you know, consistent with someone with autism. But, and now that we know that he has it, I mean, not a lot is changing for us, because I've done a lot of research about like ABA therapy, which is the only thing they recommend. And I've actually, we've learned so much about how harmful it actually is.
And what is that?
So it's applied behavioral therapy, analysis therapy. And it's like the only thing that our doctor recommended for Huxley. And it was 20 to 40 hours a week of therapy without us.
Ooh, for a 2-year-old.
Two and a half year old, which I was like, I'm kind of like a helicopter mom. So I was like, yeah, that's a no for me.
That's
like,
a hard no.
I'll become an ABA therapist and I'll do it for him.
How many hours do I need to become one of these therapists?
How do I get certified? Where do I sign? So that was the first thing I said. But then once I came home and did some research, I was like, we started crying because we read all these studies. We learned from, surprisingly, TikTok. There are actually a lot of autistic adults on TikTok.
I watch a girl. I watch a teenager.
The blonde, long blonde hair.
She's
amazing. Paige Lael. Yes. She's amazing.
She's great. She lays it down. She tells you how it is. I love her.
So she's actually cried on a few of her TikToks talking about how disgusting and dehumanizing ABA therapy is. And now we've since learned, like, that made us dig deeper, and we've since learned that, like, it's actually been compared to conversion therapy for gays.
Oh, no.
It's been compared to like dog training therapies. They like keep his favorite things away from him in order to make him act
neurotypical.
Yeah, to start acting neurotypical, and when he does and acts normal, they'll give him his favorite thing back.
That's masking, and that is, when he's like learning to mask, right?
And so we've actually learned now that it's actually caused some pretty serious PTSD in a lot of adult autistic people who have gone through ABA therapy. And so I straight up said to the doctor, I was like, what are my other options? Because this is what I've learned. And he like was so floored and like taken aback by me that he was like, you're only the third person who's ever questioned this. And I was like,
yeah,
what are my other options? And he was like, oh, I can't remember the names of it.
Oh, floor time ABA, which is more of like a play type ABA thing, but it's still the same type of therapy. It's just at their level at that point, which makes no sense.
The thing that was shocking for me, that was, I was like, well, in all honesty, if I hadn't done research, if I had been like, if it weren't for like our pediatrician telling me, don't worry about him having autism, and then me question, you know, pushing back on that. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, Huxley has definitely taught me that we know our kids better than any professional. And I'm not saying all professionals don't know what they're talking about. They're, you know, amazing. They know what they're doing, but they don't know our kid. You don't, they don't know your kid mm-hmm. like you do. And so I was like, no, I don't think we're going to do this. And he was like, well, this is what I'm recommending, basically. And they couldn't give me any more options. So now I'm like, well, I guess we're going to figure it out at home ourselves and learn from actually autistic adults, because that is the best people we can learn from, as far as I know. And I'll be damned if my son is treated like a dog or taught to be somebody he's not.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So now we're kind of in that learning process where I'm reading all the time and podcasting all the time. And
what are some good resources that you found for folks at home who might be questioning this or worried about this, or who have an autistic child?
The best resources that I've seen so far, because there's so many other professionals who agree with what we're learning, but, you know, I feel like it's taken with a grain of salt coming from a professional who doesn't have autism or, you know, hasn't experienced it themselves. I've literally been learning from any, like, putting in the search bar on Instagram, like, actually autistic or actually autism hashtags, and seeing all, I've found like 50 autism run Instagram pages where I have learned so much. And that page Lael, hers sticks out to me because I watch her TikToks, her Instagram. She shares a lot of these other pages. There's also another Instagram, Written Motherhood, I think it is. She has one or two kids with autism, and she speaks so beautifully about it and has puts all her resources and the things they do. But that's where we're at now, is just learning basically from Instagram. And I've been listening to a few podcasts of moms that have kids with autism, but
he's so young that you're going to learn and grow with him, whatever path you choose. Yeah. I mean, please, it seems like you're that type of person that you're going to figure out the path for your family. And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's kind of the best thing we can do right now, is have him teach us. And that's what he's done so far. Mm-hmm. Like, he teaches us. Like, he's completely non-speaking right now. He just recently, like within the last few weeks, started saying mama, 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 and we're dying over it. And he says sis sometimes, but we've learned with him how he wants to communicate things to us. And it's not like the average way of communicating, but we just know.
You know what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You and he gets his point across.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some way or another, he gets his point across. Like, if he wants me to get up, he'll like grab my shirt and make direct eye contact with me and guide me to whatever he wants. Like,
yeah,
he knows how to get his point across. And we have him in speech therapy and occupational therapy. Mm-hmm. And his therapist there are great and agreed with me on the ABA stuff. But those ones aren't harmful. They're helping him, you know, with things that actually help him, like communicating and how to get his sensory needs met. Yeah. Right. So those are great.
Because it can be frustrating not being able to get what you need with your communication. That can be super for anybody.
For anyone, yes.
Yeah. But I think you guys just bring up like such a great point that you know your kids. You know your kids. And, you know, if you have a feeling, or if you like, don't be afraid to reach out and find your answers. And if you don't get the answer you're looking for, go ask somebody else. I think that's such a good point.
Yeah.
Something that I need to do better.
That's the biggest thing we've learned from all of this, is like, trust your gut. And even if a professional says, nope, I don't think that's a problem, but you do, push.
Right.
Push.
Get a second opinion. Yeah, it's not going to hurt anything.
Right. Yeah. And especially within the autistic world, it seems like every individual is just so varied. It can be immensely different from person to person. And so
what works for us might not work for everybody. But what I just hope people, the reason I recently shared about Huxley having autism was mostly to put out there the ABA stuff. And because so many parents like us had never been around somebody with autism to know anything about it. And so I felt like you're so desperate at that point of the diagnosis that you're like, yes, tell me what I need to do. Sign me up. What do I need to put him in? And then you're just doing everything they say because you just want to do what's best for your kid. And you believe that that's what the professional is saying. And you could really cause some harmful stuff to your child, like with that therapy or, you know, whatever else that they say to do that shouldn't be done.
I wonder if there are autistic adults out there who were not harmed by the ABA therapy. And
there could be, or like recently I just saw another TikTok of a woman who is, I want to say she's late 20s, and she was saying that she never really felt like she had any problems from ABA, but then she was going to therapy for other reasons, and that it came out in therapy that like she won't do anything unless there's a reason or an award for it. Like, why would I write in my journal to make myself feel better because I'm not going to get a sticker for it? Or why would I try to lose 5 pounds if I'm not going to get a sticker for it? Or why would I do this if I'm not going to get a sticker for it? And she's like, and this all just came out now in therapy that I actually have all these underlying problems from the way that therapy taught me. But I don't know. I mean, we've seen a lot of people talk about how amazing it is because they see the changes in their child.
Right, right.
But
And you know, there might be parents out there who are doing ABA therapy with their kids right now, and it's working for them. And nobody is saying that, you know, that you shouldn't be doing that, or that you're...
No.
You don't know. We don't know. But, you know, everybody has to do their own research and find out what's best for them.
Absolutely. Exactly. And I think a lot of people want that instant reaction. You know, they go to... You find out your child has autism. They're struggling in all these ways. They go to ABA therapy. They start communicating. They start being more social, they stop arm flapping, they stop, you know, stimming. And you're like, wow, I have a totally different kid. But in my opinion, and in our opinion, we don't need him to act neurotypical for us to be, you know, we're not embarrassed of him arm flapping in public or being just who he is. So I don't know. I think those instant results, I mean, with anything in our world now is such a popular, you know, people are like, yeah, of course we want to do that.
Right.
I think you just make a really interesting point. And like Jamie said, everyone can land wherever they believe based on their own research, and they should do their own research. But I think the point that you make that's really interesting is that, and I think we could all do this as parents. Maybe I should just speak for myself. I could do this better if just letting my kids be who they are. And that goes across to everything. You know what I mean? That goes across like, you know, just not trying to mold them. And that's difficult, you know, because it's like you want them to be what you want them to be. And so I just, that's what I'm hearing from what you're saying, you know, it's like you're doing a masterclass in that, and then, you know, the rest is you'll figure out.
Yeah. I do think that all of us in our lives have been taught to, you know, obey and do what you're told and all these things. And it's like, sometimes it's like, well, what was so bad? You know, like sometimes she's like more of the stickler, and she'll tell our daughter no about something. And I'm like, but what, but why? Like, do you have a good reason for why you said no? And she's like, well, no. And I'm like, well, then like, how much is it hurting them? Yeah. Because I said so. Oh, we do say
preach
that
to me as a child.
Ditto. I say it sometimes. Oh, I don't
think you could be a parent and not say, cause I said so.
I literally at the dinner table with my daughter we're talking about something. And I was like, well, because it's not polite. And she was like, why do we have to be so perfect all the time? I said, we don't have to be perfect. We have to be kind and we have to be polite.
And you're yelling
because I said so.
Because we care about kindness in this family. Like,
literally sounds like a conversation in our home.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I guess my biggest thing about it all is just research. Like, don't always say like, okay, they said we need to do this. Just go home and just research it, because, you know, for us, if we had started ABA, we would have been really upset that we had done that, but we researched, we found out we don't want to. But as long as you do your research and find out, like, you know, both sides of it, and whichever side you want to be on that. But it's just like, I'm glad we did the research for us. And I want to put the information out there to other people who might parent like us, so that they know they don't have to do that. Like, you don't have to do it just because they said you should do it. And my kid doesn't really need a full-time job right now. So
right. There's that too. Oh my God.
So there's that.
There is that.
You guys, I have loved talking to you and you coming on and sharing the story.
The bottom line is,
you guys are so wonderful.
Be your own advocate and trust your kids, which comes up time and time and time again on our podcast.
Yeah.
Be your own advocate. Trust your gut.
Yep.
So important.
Will you keep us posted on absolutely everything in your life? I mean, we need to know about deployments.
Follow me on Instagram. Oh,
yeah, tell us. Tell everybody.
My Instagram is just Ashley_Ostoff. I'm pretty sure. I'm checking right now.
Well, we'll tag you.
Yeah, it's Ashley_Ostoff, Ostoff.
Yeah.
I overshared about our topic, pregnancy, because it's something I never knew about. I wanted people to hear about it. I share about our military life. I mean, I'm just an oversharer. We're open. And if it helps one person, which I'd never thought it did, but now that I know it's helping people, I'm just going to have to keep doing that.
And Sharia's on board. That's how it's going to be.
Absolutely.
I love
She's an absolutely wonderful woman. And I'm thankful every day. Because honestly, she is legit my better half.
Oh, you guys.
She's so sweet.
Aren't they delightful?
Oh, man.
They've been through so much, yet they were just so, like, loving and lovable. I don't care that they said they fight. I just saw them staring at each other all lovingly.
This happens to us every interview. We're always like, how do you guys still?
Why do you do that? How are you?
You look at each other with such love in your eye. I don't know the last time I did that with mine.
Oh,
she's behind me, so I'm not saying her name.
With mine. When I see couples like that, I just wonder, like, why would anyone be against our marriages and us having kids? Like, we're fucking amazing. I said it.
I know. You said it. You said it. Yeah, we're fucking amazing. I do also love when we hear from military folks and the story is not about having to hide.
Right?
That's heartening.
Just amazing. Heartening.
Is that a good term? Warms my heart because, you know, as gay folks, we don't usually always have the best view of the military just because of the don't ask, don't tell. And like, you know. But it's nice to hear that stuff.
Yeah,
nice
absolutely. Oh, folks. Right. Well, another week in the can. And we just want to tell you that if you got to the end of this episode and you're not sick of us, go out and get our book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. It is available at all major retailers. And if you want to buy locally, which we always advocate for, just check IndieBound. And you can also get the audiobook if you want to hear us read to you. And that is available at Amazon and iTunes. And if you get it, don't be afraid to rate and review us on Amazon or Goodreads. Those things really help us get the book out to more people.
Let's just keep this conversation going. We're all up on the social. You can find us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and the Book of the Fache, as my mother calls it, Facebook. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, where you're going to see recordings of our live streams. And don't forget that our live streams are on Facebook and YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday. So check those bad boys out because they're always a good time. And of course, you can always support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, in case you didn't get that. And don't forget, that's where you're going to get the bonus content.
All right. Thank you to our sponsors, Modern Fertility, Every Plate, and BetterHelp. And a huge thank you to all you Patreons who are already helping us make this show a possibility. We thank
you. We really, 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 really thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
All right. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.